Occupations and the way of living.
The inhabitants' dietary needs were mostly met by livestock breeding, hunting, agriculture, and collecting wild nuts. Nevertheless, it seems that people used sophisticated fishing methods, carefully weaved nets or lines with sturdy hooks. This is deduced from the kinds and size of fish they caught, such as bream, grouper, and mullet. Agriculture was mainly centred on cereals, lentils, and legumes. Hirokitia inhabitants enriched their diet with nuts and fruits collected from wild trees, such as pistachio nuts, figs, olives, and plums. In areas outside the village, they bred sheep, goats, and pigs. They also hunted deer, but we do not know the methods they applied. No arrowheads were found, hence it's surmised that their weapons were elemental, for instance traps and wooden spears with fire-hardened tips. The French mission discovered various charred grains, wheat, einkorn and barley, and legumes, an element which proves that in addition to meat and bread, the diet of Hirokitia inhabitants included beans, peas, chickpeas and olives, which they cultivated in the neighbouring valley. An abrupt break is detected in the aceramic Neolithic civilization of Hirokitia around the middle of the 6th millennium. For reasons unknown, the settlement was abandoned for almost 1,000 years, and it was inhabited again during the 5th millennium BC. In parallel with Hirokitia, the Cypriot aceramic Neolithic civilization was also developed in Kalavassos Tenta, in the Truli locality of the district of Kyrenia, in Petra Tou Limniti and in the Kastros locality of the Karpas Peninsula, close to the Apostolos Andreas Monastery. However, the aceramic Neolithic civilization lacuna detected in Hirokitia seems to be a general phenomenon, given that it was detected in those settlements as well. 5000 BC, when the Hirokitia settlement was inhabited again, marks the beginning of the second phase of the Cypriot Neolithic civilization, known as Neolithic II or Ceramic Neolithic, which continued until 3900 BC. This new cultural phase is represented mainly by the Sotira settlement. In addition to Hirokitia, the phase is detected in the upper layers of settlements in the Vrisi locality of Aios Epiktitos in the district of Kyrenia, in the Drakos locality in Philia, and in Kalavassos A. Although there's a marked change and development in domestic architecture during the ceramic Neolithic period, no architectural traces survive in Hirokitia. Stone vessels are largely replaced by red-varnished pottery, especially pottery with combed decoration, discovered in bigger volumes in Sotira. Milk bowls with semicircular spouts were the most representative samples of that technique. Simple, undecorated stone vessels from andesite continue to be manufactured, but their style maintains its aceramic features. There are no significant changes with regard to burial customs, tool manufacture, agriculture and animal husbandry, whereas the general economic and cultural levels of the Hirokitia inhabitants are almost the same with the corresponding levels of the people who had abandoned the settlement approximately 1,000 years earlier. There are no surviving architectural traces of the new settlement. Elements at the disposal of archaeologists are not sufficient to explain this sudden abandonment. Pollen analyses do not reveal climatic changes during that period, which might have disrupted the ecological balance of the island, causing a dramatic fall in critical resources for the sustenance of people. There are no traces of natural disasters, epidemics, or devastation caused by enemy action. The vagueness that marks the end of the aceramic Neolithic phase is also characteristic of its beginning. Indeed, no signs have been found in Cyprus itself to indicate the emergence of a civilization so organized and in many respects so different from other known civilizations of Asia Minor. Nonetheless, a series of indications seem to support the hypothesis that there was communication between Cyprus and the mainland, and a part of the island's population may have been the result of colonization, which assumes traversing a sea corridor. We know that already in the early Paleolithic period, Eastern Mediterranean peoples had mastered the art of navigation. A first indication is the presence in Cypriot settlements of raw materials such as cornelian and obsidian, which were unknown on the island, hence imported. A second indication is the appearance of new animal species on the island, fallow deer, sheep, goats, pigs, but also cats, dogs and foxes replace pygmy hippopotami and dwarf elephants native to Cyprus in the Pleistocene epoch. Deer and pigs certainly possess the theoretical capacity to swim across the sea corridor separating the island from the continent, but such a capacity can hardly be attributed to sheep and goats, much less to cats. Furthermore, cereals and legumes found in Cypriot archaeological sites allow us to assume these species were imported into the island, since even if they existed earlier in the wild, only cultivated versions were found in the Neolithic villages. In other words, even if colonists did not import those cultivated plants, surely they must have brought along the knowledge and the processes required for their cultivation. Lastly, the art of frescoes and the stoneworking and weaving techniques place Cyprus within a general cultural tradition. All these indications may point to a probable colonization of the island. However, they are not sufficient to trace the origins of those colonists with any degree of certainty. Thus, if we assume that the natural habitat of Dama mesopotamica, a subspecies to which the Cypriot fallow deer belongs on account of its morphology, had not undergone significant modifications over time, then the animal introduced into Cyprus must be of Eastern origin. If we accept that the beginning of the Aceramic phase in Cyprus dates from the 9th millennium BC, placing the island within a general tradition leads us to interpret the settlement in this new area along the lines we interpret settlements on the temperate coastal zone of the continent, the barren banks of the Euphrates, the inland oases in Syria and Jordan, and in the Sinai, that is, as one of the episodes in the diaspora of Neolithic man, one of the incidents of the phenomenon which has been termed Neolithic Exodus. Let us now see what lies along the visitor's path in the archaeological site. The first spot we come to is the warden's office, where visitors can obtain some literature and the site guide, which facilitates orientation. About 100 metres further up, we see the identical circular structures, a section of the village enclosure and an entry gate, exactly as they were revealed during excavation, on the top of the hill. The Maroni River flows nearby. Walking up the ramp, we climb the hillside and enter the site. It has been divided into four sectors, which do not correspond to the Neolithic period data. In Sector A, we see on our right the remains of the perimeter wall, which continues up to the hilltop. We also see the bases of the circular structures. A central large building, IA, stands out, with an outer diameter of 8 metres and the two massive stone pillars which once supported the loft. It should be noted that four buildings seem to have been constructed on top of one another, a fact that shows that habitation was uninterrupted. In some of them, we can still see the hearth, where food was obviously cooked. Continuing uphill, we walk along Sector B and come to the ruins of the first building, XX, which is similar to the previous one, massive, with stone pillars as well. In addition, it contains two mills on a semicircular bench. Building XXIX features a circular paved threshing floor, indicative of the inhabitants' occupations. Climbing further up, we enter Sector C, where the first buildings we come across do not display any particular features. The Department of Antiquities has done some work to protect the round walls of the structures. However, building XLV featured three concentric walls, and its two pillars were positioned differently. Seven adult burials were also found in that building. In one of the graves, the dead man held 10 bone tools in his right hand. The uninterrupted use of the buildings is again confirmed in building XLVII, which features 8 consecutive floor layers. Beyond building XXIII starts Sector D, where we can see the extension to the perimeter wall. The most impressive ruins in this zone are the remains of one of the settlement's access points, a complex stairway with 3 flights incorporated within a stone structure, a system unique not only in Cyprus, but in the Near East as well. A reconstruction of the access point can be seen at the entrance to the site. Building S is also noteworthy, as it seems to have been uninterruptedly inhabited over a prolonged period, and it features some barely visible remains of murals. Platforms have been constructed at various vantage points within the settlement, facilitating visitors who wish to take photographs. After the visit to the archaeological site, if you like hiking, you may wish to follow the nature trail leading to the village of Hierokitia. The starting point is located immediately after the parking area, across from the exit of the Tochni village and the churches of Agios Fanourios and Agios Nektarios. This is a Category 2 trail, that is of medium degree of difficulty, featuring sudden changes in gradient and or course along narrow or rough terrain. The first 800 metres are paved with asphalt, whereas the last 800 metres are over a rough, narrow and steep dirt road. The overall trail length is 2 kilometres.